America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another enchanting episode of Let's Begin. I am your host of the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always, although that's a lie, Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi acknowledge your existence to the world.
Well, yeah. Hello. We're pretty much always here, so I guess that's mostly true.
Yeah. Although Phil does have that thing where he kind of fades in and out of existence sometimes.
Yeah, I'm working on that, but, you know, the dilithium crystals are cracked and all that stuff, so.
Well, yeah, you know how we said last week that, holy shit, we can top what happened the week before?
Yeah, it happened again.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and say, listeners, no promises.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen at this point.
Yeah, and considering the fact that some point, probably later on this month, that James Comey is going to be testifying before a public Senate hearing, congressional hearing, the fact that Michael Flynn may or may not be charged with treason, all this other shit, just get ready to put on your seatbelts because shit's fixing to get rough.
Yeah, I saw a good joke on Twitter earlier. It's somebody was saying, name a busier week for news. And the response was May 22nd to the 28th.
Yep. That's pretty much going to be how that goes.
Yeah. So anyway, as you can probably guess, we're going to be talking about some news, the incoming Trump, the ongoing Trump catastrophe. We'll also be talking about some recent deaths that happened, one that was really sad and unexpected, and one that was actually not very sad. And you know what? Fuck it. I'm glad he's dead. We'll talk about him, too.
Fuck that guy.
And, of course, we'll have some internet news and some technology news, because, once again, we can't stop hooking shit up to the internet even if we don't need it. You'll know what it's we're true. Talking about. All this and more on yet another wonderful episode of Let's Weekend. And so, as we do every week, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I finished Words of Radiance. Still a great book. Now I'm all caught up and waiting for the third book to release this year, which looking like it's going to be the longest in the series so far. And that's saying something. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Also picked up started and finished Change Agent by Daniel Suarez, which is arguably the scariest book he has ever done. It's actually also the first book he's ever done that's set in the future, which is strange because of stuff that he usually does. It's, I guess you could call it futuristic, but it really isn't. It's all usually present day. Well, this one is set in 2045. The CRISPR gene edit technique is widely available, and of course there's interesting ramifications to that. Some people will use it for good, some people will make very, very strange mutations because they can. There's that going on. There was one passage in particular where it was like something to the effect that in America, every single stem cell is treated like a dead baby. So while activists are celebrating their victories, the rest of the world has moved on. I don't think a lot of what he's saying in there is far-fetched, to be brutally honest. He's got a really good knack for looking at what's going on in the world right now and extrapolating about 40 years and bringing things to their logical conclusions. So, yeah, if you haven't checked out Change Agent yet, it's really good. I was hoping I was going to get 2 weeks out of it, but no, I got 3 days.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, so doing that, and so I needed something else to read, so I started Masters of Doom again, so I can, you know, refresh myself on what happened with those guys back in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from that, I don't know, just some random gaming stuff. I've been melting over here. It decided for some reason to get up to 90 degrees. I don't exactly know how that happens in Canada, but apparently it does.
Especially when it's fucking snowing over here.
Yeah, so I don't know how that happened, anyway.
Well, look, the thing is, I tell people, you know, in this part of the country, the weather is notoriously unpredictable, but when you're living in a desert, it's basically a 20-sided dice roll of bullshit. So,
that's true.
Yeah. And apart from that, well, I've been watching some random Mythbusters episodes and listening to a lot of music, as we'll probably be talking about a little bit later. So, yeah, that's been kind of my week. How about you, Pat?
Well, the highlight of my week was one of my good friends getting affiliated on Twitch.
Oh, nice.
And that's been kind of inspirational for all of us, and I'm really planning on stepping up my own streaming here in the short term. I'll have more to say about that on the Day Zero update, but one thing I'm definitely planning is a Ridge Racer event on the weekend before E3.
Ooh.
Because there are signs pointing to possibly a new game being announced.
Yeah, so, I saw that little poster, which is intriguing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's mainly just kind of a concert for the composers, but
yeah.
That's a new logo.
Yeah.
And the timing is peculiar, to say the least. So,
yes, for sure.
I'm going to be doing a Ridge Racer stream sometime that weekend. Still figuring out where to slot it in between the press conferences and everything, but it's going to be something to look forward to, and hopefully that it just becomes a part of something a lot bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
But even if not, it'll be fun.
Yeah. That's the main thing.
Yeah. So that's what I've been up to, mainly just kind of planning out what I'm going to be doing with my Twitch channel and how I can do it better.
Yeah. I'm sure we should probably also point out that Pat sounds a lot better now.
Yes.
Yeah. You may have noticed this. Yeah. The new headset will definitely do that for you.
Yep.
So.
It was good.
As
it was
usual,
a good deal.
I sound like shit.
Yeah. Well, we'll sort you out eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get to the
seriously,
house last.
Folks, if you think, seriously, folks, if you think I sound bad now, you should hear what we sound like before our local audio wizard works his magic on it, because...
it's true.
Oh, well. Anyway, what about you, Chris?
Well, so today, Kimmy Schmidt Season 3 released, and I watched the whole thing. And it was, it's pretty good. Mm. It's weird watching that show, trying to figure out when the hell it was written, because it makes Trump references, but it doesn't make more current ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird. They make a joke about how, women can't be president. and other ones making jokes about certain members of the administration.
Mm.
So I think it's an early Trump shit show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thing, but... Yeah, it was quite good. Especially nice seeing David Diggs on the show.
Mm-hmm.
As a former original cast member of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. For those that might recognize Thomas Jefferson and Raphael. And
Lafayette.
He has a really nice role on the show as sort of Kimmy's kind of equal. In a bit as a person who kind of is thrown in, because the whole point of this season is Kimmy's going to college, and he plays like an older college-bound guy who is kind of in Kimmy's similar role of coming into it later in life, instead of being like the kids that are also at the college, where she realizes that they're all babies. And it's pretty good. People should definitely check it out. Also watched a bunch more of Last Week Tonight, kind of watching in the order it is on YouTube, so it's reverse chronological, so things are getting better every week. It was interesting to watch a lot of the shows where he makes references to things. Oh, here's the episode where he makes that reference, or where he's constantly taking shots at Bill Cosby in many, many episodes. And there's one great episode about televangelists and the whole money industry that is there, involving a concept called seeds, mm-hmm. where people essentially donate money and the person or his team sort of leads them on to keep donating money with some sort of promise of a greater payoff. And so they ended up trying to do that with one of the bigger ones for about 7 months before getting fed up with it, getting things like, oh, here's cloth in the shape of mountains. Here's an outline of his foot. Send us money with this back. Or here's a $5 check from you to the guy. It's like just ridiculous shit. So at the end, he actually sets up his own church. What is it called? Our Lady of Perpetual Exemption. He set it up. I'm going to see if I can find the link. And essentially told people to donate money, not actual seeds. And the whole thing with this is that they ended up shutting it down, not because they got money or actual seeds, but because people sent in semen. And they figured, we still have miraculously not broken any laws by promising you untold riches in return for sending us money. We're not also not closing down because you all kept sending us actual seeds, even though we explicitly told you not to. We're closing because multiple people sent us sperm through the mail. And when someone sends you jizz through the mail, it's time to stop whatever you're doing. So we're shutting this shit down. And they donated all the money to Doctors Without Borders. But they did not send the sperm to them.
By the way, for those who are wondering, the particular preacher they were talking about, where they were having the seed, where he kept, you know, sending in a cloth and then a, you know, print out of his foot and all that stuff. Yeah, that's Robert Tilton.
Yes.
AKA the farting preacher.
Yes. There's just been a bunch of great episodes. Stuff about the shit show that's been going on down in Puerto Rico, where essentially we have a bunch of laws, some of which nobody knows how these like writers came along to do this, but essentially we have exemptions placed on Puerto Rico limiting what they can do to overcome their financial issues. That just basically means they're doomed, essentially. It's just a really fun show to watch. I think I'm coming up on the second season. I think that's where I'm at. And that's been great to watch. And another show I've been watching a bit is Once Upon a Time. They got their season 5 up on Netflix now. Mm-hmm. And that show is going off the deep end even more than before. So if you don't remember, this show is kind of run by some of the people from Lost. And so mm-hmm. season 5 kind of ends, starts with them showing some major event happening, that everybody going back to the homeland to nearby Camelot. And something happens. They wake up back in the town 6 weeks later. And so now they're playing out flashbacks from what happened in Camelot and showing what's happening in the present time, essentially. Mm-hmm. And there's just weird stuff going on. Merida from Brave has been introduced, as well as King Arthur and the Round Table. Merlin's trapped in a tree. That's a weird thing. Yeah, Lancelot is a supposed traitor of the Round Table. Very weird stuff that's happening, but yeah, it's been pretty good. And that show's going towards a weird point because a bunch of the lead actors are not going to be in, I think, season 7. They're going to be done after the whatever season's up next. So that's going to put them in a weird spot story-wise. Because I don't know how you replace some of the main people.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep going. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. As for games, not really even playing too much other than Defense Grid 2. Put more time into it, just unlocking more trophies and achievements. And realizing how slow it loads on Xbox One compared to PS4.
Oh, you just noticed that.
I noticed it from like the very first part, like when you load it up, it's like within like 10 seconds on PS4 and it's like a minute on Xbox One. It's like, what the hell is up with this?
Yep.
But just even loading up maps, it's like the night and day. It's just weird. I don't know what the hell is going on with that game. But it's still been fun to play some of the other side stuff and all that in that game, and it's real good. And just kind of dabbling a little bit into Diablo 3 again, pushing my season character into Act 2 at level 35, I think it is. So still quite ahead on the level counts, and not much real threat at this point. I even have a hardcore character who's not in too much trouble either.
Hmm.
Although hardcore limits the difficulties you can mess around with.
Yeah.
So once you start getting some of the items that give you health back quickly, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah. You just have to be careful not to run into some of those asshole mobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I got the witch doctor as my hardcore character, so she stays back.
Mm.
And I let the Templar just go up and get any up-close damage.
Mm.
And also you get dogs and the zombie to come with you so that they do their own thing as well.
Damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice thing to do. And that's largely been it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first things first, my primary gaming, more or less for this week, at least since its release, was Injustice 2.
Hmm.
So, yep, got Injustice 2.
Been hearing good things.
It is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
You doing the review?
Yeah, I am.
Cool.
How are the loot boxes?
The loot boxes,
that's like half the game.
Loot boxes are actually not bad. Basically, what happens is for every loot box, you basically get like from like 2 to 5 different choices of what item you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be anything minor from like, it can be anything from like, you know, a different shade to, you know, additional stuff put on your character, you know, upgrades, that type of thing.
Mm.
There's like a weird AI mode. You set up like AI to do stuff for you.
Yep.
Which is something I really liked in the last few like Virtual Fighter games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised not many other fighters have done much with.
Mm.
Yeah.
But so this time, as far as the like the story goes, it takes in place entirely in the alternate universe.
Hmm.
So the other one that, you know, the universe where the Joker died, that's the one that the game takes place entirely. The other universe never comes into it.
Okay.
And it's really neat to see how some of these characters basically just completely change. Like, for one thing, when you're playing the game, you know, one of the first things you have to do when you're playing is when you get the chance to play Harley, and one of her first fights is when she gets hit with the Scarecrow's fear toxin. And she has to fight a sort of nightmare version of the Joker.
Hmm.
And it's basically her learning to let go of the Joker.
Hmm.
And I gotta admit, it's actually not bad. Yeah, you'll also, there's also, what?
As I said, they do pretty good narrative over there at NetherRealm.
Yeah, it's actually really well. It's a very well written. It is incredibly silly, but it is great. It is. It's also pretty dark, as you can expect.
Yeah.
Like darker than the first game was. And a lot of it basically has to do with the fact that yeah, Superman really has gone completely off the fucking deep end. but yeah, it's a great game. It controls really well. It's really fun to play. I'm still not finished with the story mode. But the game does have, like, you know, it's got its survival mode, its arcade mode, stuff like that. By the way, for those who don't know the arcade mode, it's actually not like put out there very clearly. It is in the game. You have to go into what's called the multiverse part of the game, and then you go into the section called Battle Simulator, and that's the tower thing with endings for all characters. And the last boss is always, Brainiac. And he fucking sucks. you'll find out all about it when I write my review. But it's a good game, though. So expect a good review. Other than that, the usual reading. I finished this amazing book by Paul Tremblay, a novel called A Head Full of Ghosts, which is basically about a sort of suburban middle-class family who starts... They're already on kind of unsteady ground because the father lost his job and now the mother's the only breadwinner. And then suddenly their oldest daughter, Marjorie, suddenly starts showing signs of acute schizophrenia. And the father, at some point, either out of desperation or just he was a little loopy, because there's like a point where Marjorie's behavior gets so bad that she actually punches holes in her bedroom wall and climbs on them like a spider.
Okay.
He increasingly becomes convinced that she's possessed. And so he gets involved with this priest by the name of Father Warden, who, for whatever reason, somehow, either because of their dire financial straits or because the father's just gullible enough, convinces them to team up with it to make a reality show based around Marjorie's eventual exorcism. And like a good chunk of the book is about Marjorie's little sister, Mary Meredith, years after the fact, basically repeating all the stuff that happened when she was only 8 years old, which is when the show was filmed. There's also like things from like a blog from a random blogger who's writing about the show, years after the fact on the blood, at like a retrospective. Also, newspaper clippings, that type of stuff. It is really goddamn terrifying, and part of the reason is because of the ambiguity. You're never really sure if Marjorie really is possessed or if she really is, like, seriously mentally ill. The book gives you just enough ambiguity that either explanation is absolutely correct. Also, the way it ends, it really gets under your skin. I'm not going to lie. So other than that, yard work.
Oh.
And it's that time of the year.
Yep.
And of course, because my dad, when he bought the house, got a gigantic goddamn front yard, yard work for me usually takes a few days. especially when it's around 90-something degrees by the time it's noon. But yeah, I had to do some of the weed eating today, and that's no fun.
Nope.
Really,
I'm
not
sure
fun.
It's real pleasant down there too.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was my week. Has anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, well, this week, of course, everybody knows this. Next is everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, you know, we did some serious shit went down this week. And, you know, it's going to get kind of heavy as we go on for this episode.
Yeah.
So I thought for this week, we do something for Random Factoid that's just a little bit light. Something on the lighter side, something that we can all agree is just unbelievably goddamn silly. Mm-hmm. And has absolutely nothing to do with American politics. It actually has to do with Canadian politics. and it has everything to do with that time Stephen Harper hid his cowardly ass in a closet.
Yeah, that did happen.
I shall explain. So back in 2015, back in 2014, Parliament Hill was suddenly faced with a crazed gunman that suddenly stormed center block. At the time, this is where the rest of the Conservative caucus was in the building. So obviously, obviously it's a big target. So the dude showed up. He started having gunfire. People were freaking the fuck out. So here's the part. Here's the badass part. Are you ready for the badass part? Members of the Conservative caucus and some of the MPs that were there, who were in their offices, went to the meeting room, took out 15 of the, I think it was 20 something flat, 15, I think it was like, of like 17 flagpoles that were in the room, moved the flags, fashioned them into spears, and stood ready to impale any poor bastard that tried to invade their space.
Yep.
Straight up. Just, come in, motherfucker. a lot of them, some of them were in their offices right up to the door. They had the flagpoles at the ready. Remember, these are the official flagpoles that, you know, they have up at the meeting room. So, you know, they got the big pointy tops at them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty deadly weapons if you know how to use them correctly. Guess what happened to Stephen Harper?
Yeah, he wasn't so lucky.
No, because he's a fucking pussy. He basically ducked into a little bitty cubbyhole closet that was in the center block room short just about after the gunfire started.
And stayed there.
Keep in mind, there was about 150 Tory MPs stuck in this caucus room. and other than Harper, all of them stood ready to fucking fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
No, Harper didn't. Nope.
Yep.
He heard shots and he suddenly ducked into a fucking cubbyhole.
Yep. We were glad to get rid of him, that's for sure.
For the record, all those flagpoles, the MPs all kept them as souvenirs.
Yep.
They could say, hey, I didn't. I wasn't a fucking coward like Stephen Harper was.
Hmm. And I think the gunman got, taken out by one of the old guards that were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember that right.
Yeah, for the record, this gunman, by the record, had already killed one Canadian soldier at that point.
Hmm.
And older Hill security guard who actually shot him.
Hmm.
Of course, he was also shot too, but he made a full recovery.
Yep.
One of the Democratic Reform Minister, Pierre Poilievre, actually brought one of the spears with him when they resumed meeting that evening. Basically, just to rub it in Harper's face.
Yeah. It's hiding in the closet.
Yeah. I was just standing here. Papa was trapped in the closet. Fuck it, let's leave him there. Lock the door. Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yay.
Now, here's the question you have to ask. If this were to happen in Washington, what congressman would actually be at the ready to do something?
Very few.
The answer is none of them would have to, because if something like this happened, you can bet your ass that the Secret Service would have that dude plugged.
Three
in the chest, two in the head. Probably before he came even within a mile.
Triple tap.
Yeah. All right. Now it's time to start the show proper. Our first story, of course, is our assholes of the week. And for this week, it was, and trust us, we did have a pick of...
Competition.
We had competition, but it ultimately came down to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, who have decided they're going to continue their plan to roll back net neutrality.
Yeah.
Now,
despite the fact that the comment period is still open right now.
Yeah, the comment period is still open, and technically, before they can actually do it, there's like this really long period of debate mm-hmm. that they do.
Yeah.
If people can make enough of a fucking noise, it might have an effect. Keep in mind, however, that right now the dude who is heading up the FCC is Ajit Pai, who is a fucking asshole.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that he's calling this bill restoring internet freedom, which it does nothing at all.
No freedom for ISPs to shake people down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the fucking thing. That's the thing that always fucking happens here in the U.S. You can make the most terrible goddamn legislation you can make as long as you somehow manage to stick the word freedom in there. Don't think that this is somehow accidental. They fucking know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
they know what they're doing.
They have some comments here about the comments that they've been getting. Thankfully, our rulemaking proceeding is not decided like a Dancing with the Stars contest, since counts of comments submitted have only so much value. Instead of operating in economics free zone where the benefits of the rules are assumed to outweigh any costs, commenters will need to provide evidence to support their arguments that the rules are not needed. That is Commissioner Michael Riley.
Yeah. You want evidence as to how crappy it can get? How about looking back 25 years or the last 25 years?
Yeah, very easily.
Yeah.
Just bring in a freaking VHS, man, with the greatest hits.
Yeah.
You can put it right there.
Yeah,
the episode
hit play and then said, "I rest my case." That's literally all you have to do.
The episode of last week tonight's about this latest attempt made the comparison to essentially the ISPs holding a gun at you, saying, "No, we're not going to pull the trigger. We would never do that." Essentially likening it to the ability to hold back content, or at least making it harder to access unless the companies in pay for it to get equal access.
Hooray.
Seems like Google should do some sort of protest, say turn off Google.
Mm-hmm.
For like the Google search stuff for a day or two.
Yeah,
they should totally do that.
Yeah, like when we had the Amazon
and just
blackout.
Watch. Yeah, just for 24 hours and watch the fucking chaos.
Or what if they just shut off all of their services for 24 hours?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Imagine. No Gmail for 24 hours. Yeah, people would lose their shit.
No Gmail, no YouTube. Just.
Oof. That would be bad.
Yeah. Would make a goddamn statement, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yep. No, I didn't say I didn't support it. I just said it would raise hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely word.
But yeah, so hopefully, you know, I try to be optimistic and say that there is, you know, Agitpi can't be that big of a fucking sociopath, but then again, I've been proven wrong before.
Yeah. Well, I've been working for Verizon, so.
Yeah. So, if we make a big enough. Yeah. If we all make big enough a noise, they'll hear it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it seems like a
otherwise, if Agitpi does go through with this, fuck it. Guillotine.
If he goes through with it despite the fact that millions of people are against it,
mm-hmm.
then guillotine.
Yeah.
So then it'll be deserved.
Yep.
So
I'm just talking figuratively, folks. I don't actually want to cut off his head.
It's just weird how pretty much every Trump appointee has some vested interest in undoing
the
things in their industry that they're in charge of.
Yeah.
And that's by design. That's not an accident.
Nope. And it's intentional. One is just an event. Two is a trend. Three is a goddamn pattern.
And how many are we up to by now?
Six or seven?
Four is a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, the head of the EPA has an active lawsuit against the EPA. That's not a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
He's suing himself now.
All right. But to wash that out our mouths, we have our hero of the week. Some amazing, fantastic news. Chelsea Manning is now free.
About goddamn
took her time. First steps of freedom this morning.
Hmm.
It great came 7 years too goddamn late, but she is a free woman now.
Yeah.
Now, technically, she is still considered to be in the military, which means that she's still technically under orders. Mm-hmm. She still has to deal with the fucking discharge.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's actually out and about now. And keep in mind, of those 7 years, most of them were spent in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
She showed our first picture after she left the prison, and she is very, very pale.
Hmm.
Like, ethereally pale.
Yeah.
Vampire pale. Yeah. So, as a quick reminder, what exactly did Chelsea Manning reveal to the world? What exactly did she leak? Well, she leaked that the American government and the Army had an official policy of ignoring torture.
Mm-hmm.
That they actually trained various groups in torture, including everything from hanging from ceilings, drilling holes into their feet, waterboarding, all that shit. Revealed that the U.S. government, the U.S. Army, the U.S. military, in conjunction with DynaCorp, was facilitating the sexual trafficking of young children for local warlords.
Yeah, and she was the one who went to jail. Something not right there.
Yeah. She also revealed that despite the fact that it's a war crime, the U.S. Army regularly is involved in double tapping, and she provided evidence, video evidence, in which they shot a bunch of civilians, and then from I think it was a drone or a helicopter? I think it was a drone from a drone, and then when the first responders came in, they shot again.
Mm.
All told, they killed about 50 people.
Yeah.
All of them civilians.
Hmm.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
Now, I've had some people on Facebook tell me stuff like, she revealed troop movements and locations, blah, blah, blah. I just want to say, if any of the troops in those troop movements were in any way involved in or related to all the shit I just talked about, You know what? Fuck them. I hope that shit haunts them into their goddamn graves.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about enemy combatants here, people. We're talking about fucking innocents.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of enemy combatants and innocents, she also revealed that the vast majority of the people currently housed in Guantanamo are, in fact, innocent.
Yeah. God damn it, government.
Well, dude, you ain't got nothing involved. You're Canadian. It's our government. I say, even though usually when the U.S. does something, it tends to drag the Canadian military in with it as well. But, yeah. So yeah, she is free now. She is a hero, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
She should be given the Nobel Peace Prize. In fact, they should fucking take away Obama's Peace Prize and give it to her.
And this is one Obama thing that Trump can't undo.
Nope.
That's the good thing.
Yeah. Now, for some more pleasant news, this week the official librarian for Congress, Dr. Carla Hayden, actually managed to rescue a large group of ducklings and their mother from the roof of the Congressional building.
So there's the one good thing that happened in Congress this week.
Yep. Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 ducklings and their mother. So 12 in all. And like I said, from the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell they got up there, but...
Well, they got up there.
Somehow they got up there. Probably born up there. Nobody noticed.
More than likely.
I think I had read that they would like to go up the ramp on one of the buildings and just jump into the pool that's right around there.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a swimming pool near where ducks congregate, it's like flame. It really is. But hey, as long as they're not Canadian geese, I'm fine with it. Some Sorry people wonder, why is it that Canadians are always so nice? It's because they took all the hate and evil that they have within Canada, and with it, through dark science and dark magic, managed to create a creature wherein they could harness all the hate and evil generated in Canada. And that monster became the Canadian goose.
Yeah.
Okay. And now we get on to the heavy shit. All right, so, first things first. Who here knows who Sheriff David Clark is?
Me.
Yep.
Yeah, Sheriff David Clark is an asshole who has been accused of mistreating prisoners in his jail. And by mistreating, I don't mean, like, you know, regular shit. I mean, like,
people fucking,
you know, denying access to water till one dude died of thirst.
I think he's had 4 die in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
His jail.
He's had a woman give birth in one of his jail cells and refused medical treatment. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The dude is a crazy goddamn fascist lunatic. And Trump just appointed him to a position in the DHS.
Because he too is a fascist lunatic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently, I saw this. If you've seen him in his military uniform with all the pins on it, most of those are fake.
Yeah.
It's like he works at a fucking restaurant. Has just flair all over his thing to just say, hey, I'm important.
Yeah.
And that's very offensive to military people.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. See, I got a bunch of military in my family. That shit does not fly.
No.
Especially you can tell he's a big child because he has that stuff arranged in circles around his chest.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here's the thing. He basically is a man child, too. I guess Trump sort of saw a kinship with him because of that.
Yeah.
The dude cannot take criticism at all, and he has abused his post to punish people who criticize him before.
Yeah.
And that guy's now in the going to be part of the Department of Homeland Security, hopefully not for long.
Yeah. we said...
Because I have a feeling... Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that, but you know what? Fuck it. We'll go ahead and talk about it. Okay, so that... Okay, we finally get to Trump himself. Trump basically went public and claimed that he is the most unfairly treated politician ever.
Hmm.
Ever.
No. That's
no.
No, not
actually. Lincoln says hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lincoln says hi. Nelson Mandela says hi.
Hmm.
You know, JFK.
The vice president shot his political rival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Burr.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, that's a
nice BBC article lists a ton of people that have had it worse.
Yeah.
Julius Caesar.
Caesar. Gandhi.
I'm just loving that the media now just has no fear of calling his bullshit.
No.
They know.
Once they realized he had no power over them, they just didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Zero fucks.
Yeah. It finally, whatever, it was the fire lit under the ass that they needed.
Yeah.
So, he has, let's see, what else? I mean, Ronald Reagan was actually shot.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, he survived, but...
Yeah, he survived.
Keep
in mind, this was shot at his age. He was an old man. Let's see, there was...
Barack Obama, he's even been treated more unfairly than Trump.
Yeah.
Barack Obama has had 3 known assassination attempts on his life that have been recorded.
And he's had a conspiracy headed by, say, Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We could do this for hours. How about Nelson Mandela?
Yeah.
Oh, I already mentioned him, didn't I?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Malcolm X is mentioned in here.
Malcolm X. Well,
Dr. King
and Malcolm X weren't politicians.
Mm.
They were just activists. Yeah. They involved themselves in politics, though. So.
Yeah. Benazir Bhutto.
Nazir Bhutto actually was shot in the head and killed.
Yep.
So basically, there were many, many, many people who were far more criticized than Trump.
Yeah. By the time his reign ends, somebody should write a great book of every lie that Trump told while he was president.
That's going to be like 3,000 pages.
Yeah. There would be no trees left.
Yes, but... It's
a great read, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would be. And then just have extensive footnotes at the end of it. Because you got to make shit that makes sense. You got to make sure that shit is sourced.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, here's another good example. Aung San Suu Kyi in Myanmar, basically under house arrest for like 20 years.
Mm. Yeah, that's
after she was actually elected for parliament.
Because
the military junta didn't like her.
Yeah.
I mean, you could even throw Hillary in that picture of being treated more unfairly than Trump.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm sure Louis XIV would like to have a word with him.
Yeah.
Or he would, you know, if he had his head still.
Yeah. Brings us to James Comey.
Oh, yes. So, as everybody knows, the James Comey, who was the FBI director who was in charge of investigating the Trump-Russia ties, was fired by Trump.
Yeah.
And obviously, he was the third person who was involved heading up investigation and stuff that was fired by Trump. And like I said last week, one is an event, two is a trend, three is a pattern.
Yeah. In this case, I think it might actually be worse than that. Because apparently the actual reason that Comey was fired was because Trump wanted him to jail journalists.
Yep.
Yeah, there's been lots of little bits of info coming out sort of saying he asked him to stand down on the investigation, telling him to stand down on the other investigation with what's his face? The NSA Michael guy.
Flynn.
Yes.
Michael
Flynn. Trying to stand out on that.
Yeah.
Bunch of other stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. It's like when we talked about this last week.
it feels like a year, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's only been a week. We said, stay tuned. Things are going to get very interesting. I didn't expect that it would just like explode in the next week.
Yeah. So
and then there was that whole thing about Trump, quote, losing his shit in the Oval Office and pretty much bitching out his entire staff.
Yeah, I've seen that the White House lawyers have been busy getting familiar with the terms of impeachment.
Well, they better they be.
And and we're probably going to find out much more
next week.
Probably next month, because at the beginning of it, probably, because it was announced that James Comey will be testifying in a public Senate hearing sometime after May 29th.
Yep.
Now, granted, that could happen as early as May 30th, but
yeah,
it probably won't be that week. It'll probably be the following one.
As long as it's not during E3, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, then we'll just be dead. Yeah.
Because, and like I said, this is pretty much the reason why he didn't go into the earlier congressional hearing, because that one was a closed one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one, they actually basically gave him a subpoena. So he has to go, and it has to be public.
Yeah. Which means live media coverage.
Yep. And the fallout is going to be glorious.
Mm.
It really is. Because he's got nothing to hide anymore.
Nope.
You know, he's gone. His career is over. He doesn't have to...
Yeah.
He doesn't owe his loyalty to anybody at this point. Mm. And he is going to sing. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to sing like a canary, and he is not going to put anything back.
Yeah. Well, how many fucks must he give by now?
At this point, I don't think he's lost the ability to produce them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with zero as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he
doesn't take much exposure to Trump to bring out that reaction.
That's true.
That out.
Yeah, he had a memo come out earlier this week basically saying, fuck you, Trump.
Yep. And the special prosecutor is, who is it? Yeah.
Who we're fixing to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and go to that. We just found out that, yes, they are now going to have a special prosecutor who has been tapped to prosecute the Trump-Russia case. And the prosecutor is none other than former FBI Director Robert Mueller.
Yeah.
Vast bipartisan support. Probably the most well-respected figure in law enforcement.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was Bush's guy. He was Obama's guy.
Yeah,
if those two can agree on him keeping his position, then...
Yeah.
You know he's well-liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he oversaw the 9/11 attack investigation, so he knows how to deal with big stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Stuff's in his wheelhouse, in other words.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Trump can't touch him.
Nope.
And, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that Trump is going to be removed from office at this point. Now it's just a question of whether he's going to be rotting in Fort Leavenworth or something.
Yeah.
Is it they're going to have to drag him out of the damn...
He'll be forcibly removed from the Oval Office. I mean, I don't think that's...
yeah, that's he's going to have happen, security remove him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he resigns before it actually happens.
Well, that's what Nixon did.
That way so he can say he didn't get impeached and he won the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He may go to jail.
But... Any prosecutions regarding treason or anything would move forward.
But
before that happens, if anybody's going to be charged with treason, it's probably going to be Michael Flynn.
I don't think anything's...
the extent of his collusion with Russia is becoming much more apparent. Yeah, so, and in fact, just tonight on CNN, it was revealed that the Russian officials were basically bragging that they could control Trump through Michael Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Which... Yeah.
He also had business with Turkey as well.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, and that's the other thing we need to talk about, he basically halted a military operation basically because Turkey wanted them to.
Hmm. That's not cool.
And he kind of sort of unintentionally ended up helping ISIS.
Yeah.
Did you see Erdogan's bodyguards starting fights outside the embassy?
Yep. Erdogan? Yeah. We actually don't have this in the notes, but I guess we should go ahead and talk about that. So there is actually a group of hardcore Turkish nationalists in the United States. They're gigantic a-holes, and they basically are the thorn in the side of the Armenian community in America. Whenever they have, the memorial days for the Armenian genocide, they'll do shit like, attack groups of activists. They have hired, planes to write shit in the sky that says the Armenian genocide never happened. They're really just a really special class of people.
Yeah.
And apparently them, with the help of what ended up being a few of Erdogan's own bodyguard detail, kicked the crap out of some activists when outside of the Turkish embassy this week on American soil.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And then later we had footage shows that not only was it Erdogan's bodyguards, but Erdogan himself was outside watching the whole thing.
Which lethal weapon was the one that was about diplomatic immunity?
Pretty sure it was the second.
Two. Yeah.
That's basically what they pulled out there.
Diplomatic immunity. Bang. It just been revoked. Yeah.
Did you see what people think is the lead replacement for Comey as FBI director?
Joe Lieberman.
Yep, Joe Lieberman. Hey, let's put a politician in this position that we don't want politicians in.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have any history with... And who also works with Trump's lawyer.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if he's going to be bipartisan at all.
Oh, now we get... By the way, speaking of general thuggery, as everybody knows, down in Louisiana, specifically New Orleans, they've started up removing all of the Confederate memorials in the city.
Mm-hmm. I think they just got the last one today.
Yep, they got the last one today. Well, in Virginia, I'm guessing in Virginia they've started talk of maybe doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of... group of folks gathered at night at a particular Confederate memorial for a rally with torches. And amongst the group it's everybody's favorite punching bag, Richard Spencer, with a friggin' tiki torch.
Yeah, a bunch of people in the dark with torches.
Yeah,
Well, they were all tiki torches too. That's the weird kind of funny part of
it's
it.
It's like, but... oh, we stopped at Walmart on the way over.
Got they probably that. Did.
Gee, did you?
Couldn't find anything else.
Everybody, yeah. I mean, you could have used road flares or something. So I want everybody here to think really hard about this. Just dig deep, deep down into the recesses of your knowledge. What type of group, say in past history, say the 20th century, they like to have their little rallies at night, like to have big torches, have bots of marching cries and slogans. Maybe one of them was led by a short little gentleman with a funny mustache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nazis. And the KKK, two things that come to mind.
Yep.
These guys are yelling, Russia is our friend.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I guess the thing they were worried
not
about
not even hiding it.
No.
Is a General Lee statue and a General Thomas Stonewall Jackson statue that are going to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got stuff that's still hanging up in the air because they're trying to figure out what to do with it first.
Yeah. By the way, I want to emphasize something. They aren't destroying these statues. They're moving them to museums.
Yeah.
They're not being destroyed.
Yeah.
So when somebody tells you about how they're quote-unquote destroying history, tell them to shove it up their ass because...
You can go see history at the museum. That's where it's for.
Also, there are plenty of books about the subject. Yeah. It's not disappearing.
Yeah. Some of them are actually written by actual historians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess in the case of this particular instance, May 2nd, a judge issued an injunction against the city, which decided to remove the Lee statue, and they're not permitted to sell the statue within the next 6 months as litigation proceeds.
Right.
But they did not apply the injunction to the city's plan to rename Lee and Jackson Parks. The city will also not be barred from initiating a master planning process to redesign the two historical districts where the parks are located. They're going to build a new memorial to those who were enslaved in the city.
Hmm.
Yep.
Racist people. Annoying.
The Virginia Division Sons of Confederate Veterans alleged the city's vote to remove the statue violates a state law that protects war memorials.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, who here was
that's
right.
Even a thing.
But even those people were against this demonstration, so.
Yeah.
Even those people are not supporting this fucking this KKK shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of like a declaration, we're descendants of losers?
Yeah, basically.
Kinda. Mm.
But believe it or not, they're actually a fairly large organization.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was a great bit in Kimmy Schmidt, where she was at the police station near the end of the season, and on the wall is a Trump's a poster of Trump saying, "You are a loser," kind of in the same style as like the Uncle Sam poster. We want you, but it says, "You are a loser." That's what this reminds me of.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
All right. All right. And now to something nice and cheerful. Roger Ailes is dead.
Yay!
Yeah, we had talked that he might be leaving Fox News. We just didn't expect that it would be permanently.
In a pine box.
Yes, so Roger
I guess
Ailes...
that's one way to get out of those lawsuits.
Yeah.
So Roger Ailes, I guess it was early this morning, shuffled off this mortal coil from, I think it was a pulmonary embolism.
Hmm.
I get a blood clot, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And, wow. So where do we start?
Yeah, this article calls him the Christopher Columbus of hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. The dude was about as sleazy as you could get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He worked with Richard Nixon. Basically, every Republican administration from Nixon onwards... he was involved with in some way.
Hmm.
even if it was tacitly through Fox News.
Hmm. I got some nice tweets here. What did Roger Ailes die of, aside from perfect timing? Roger Ailes has died. Another proud Confederate monument has been taken down this week.
It must be my birthday.
Karma's a bitch.
So let's see. Obviously, everybody knows he's the guy who founded Fox News as we know it. Now, of course, Fox News and the entire Fox, corporation is owned by Rupert Murdoch, but Ailes was the guy who was basically the day-to-day head of it.
Hmm.
And after he resigned, all the stuff that came out about the culture of extreme misogyny and sexual harassment, sexual assault, and keep in mind that's crap that goes back all the way back to when he was working with Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
We've got there's Fox News Channel itself, which
has legitimized conspiracy theories for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Told people their fears of black people are justified.
Mm-hmm. Their fear of Mexicans are justified, that their fear of Muslims are justified.
Did you see what happened when the Comey memo, the stuff came out? It was showing screenshots of what each of the networks were talking about. And mm-hmm. I think it was CNN, MSNBC were all talking about the memo. And on Fox News, it was Clinton Foundation. Where is it? It's like, oh.
Priorities?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, Fox News is basically the people that built and gave us Donald Trump.
Yeah. You know, the media wing of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. I don't know for much longer.
Not just the Republican Party, but a very specific wing of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
For how much longer, we don't know.
Bill O'Reilly eulogized him by saying that Ailes had his back when the shit hit the fan. And I can't think of anything much more damning than that.
Yep. It's like, talk about being damned with fake praise.
Yeah. So really, they're just on Fox that afternoon when they did the Five and Fox and Brands. They, of course, did their little sob stories.
He was such a good friend.
He had my back.
Yeah. Nobody cares. I guess there's a certain audience that will probably miss him, and
they'll be dead soon too. They're older than he was, and time will take them before long.
Yeah. Very true.
As an atheist, my thoughts on any potential hereafter are negligible at best.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that if there was any person more truly deserving of a special place in hell than Roger Ailes, then that's a short list.
Yeah.
Him and Lee Otwater can have tea over the Lake of Fire.
Yeah.
All right. So then we've got the sad death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That literally came out of freaking nowhere.
Yeah.
He just did a show the other day. Was on the way to Columbus to do another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He actually died hours after that show. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
The lead singer, frontman, songwriter, founder of the band, the seminal band Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, passed away.
Yeah.
Fuck depression.
Yep. Boom. It was so sudden.
Yeah.
Soundgarden are one of those bands that, at a time when pop music was kind of just going... after the grunge era died and pop music was slipping back into the god awful teeny bop opera category. Soundgarden kept the Rock Black flying for just about everyone. Yeah. And the thing was, you know, this is, I think, a lot of people don't realize. When we talk about grunge, what people don't realize is that all the big, what they call grunge bands, they were basically all of different subgenres, of pre-existing subgenres, you know. Soundgarden was basically a heavy metal band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nirvana were a post-punk band, and, you know, Pearl Jam were an old-school alternative band, and, yeah, and Alice in Chains were, well, they were originally a hair band.
Yeah.
But, yeah, holy crap, it just freaking...
He came out of nowhere. He's 52 years old and just... No, he's not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like it was probably not suicide.
No.
Because he was busy in the middle of a tour.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, he hung himself.
Yeah, he hung himself.
Is that confirmed?
Dude.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, he hung himself. They played Detroit that night, and...
Mm-hmm.
They found a set list after the show.
Uh-huh.
He had actually replaced the encore that was planned with a cover of Led Zeppelin's In My Time of Dying.
Oh, God.
And the only reason that didn't sound alarms right away is because they've played it before.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that it kind of preempted their originally planned encore was something that you kind of wish somebody had picked up on.
So obviously the rock world was shocked, and they've all responded. Megadeth, for their part, have added the famous Soundgarden song Outshine to their Tokyo set list. And of course, if anybody can do a good cover, it's them.
It was raw as fuck, but I would not mind at all to see it become a regular part of their set.
Yeah. And also, Red Hot Chili Peppers tried their hand at Seasons.
No, that one didn't turn out too badly either.
No. Mm. Well, I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, back in the day, they used to be pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really funny because, yeah, they're still great. I mean, but if you've seen how they how their sound has evolved, their music got more and more mellow.
Yeah, more and more mellow, whereas the stuff Chris Cornell did got heavier and heavier.
Yeah. Like, compare, you know, Higher Ground from 89, and then, you know, compare that with frickin', you know, Californication.
Yeah.
And see
You can tell when Anthony was on drugs and when he started getting off of it.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell will be missed.
Yes.
Probably imagine I've been listening to pretty much nothing but Soundgarden, Audioslave, Temple of the Dog, and even some of his solo stuff. So,
yeah, for me, it's a lot of Audioslave, as that's when I kind of got to know sort of Cornell as a lead singer.
Yeah.
Or so, because I heard Soundgarden, never really thought about individual members, but when they joined up with the guys from Rage Against the Machine. That was some really great stuff, those first few albums.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Audioslave, first rock band to ever play in Cuba.
Yep. I have that concert on DVD. It's great.
Yeah.
Nice. I still remember when they lost Best Debut Album at the Grammys to Evanescence.
Yeah.
That never made sense to me.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, don't get me wrong. Evanescence is nice, but...
And that was a hell of a debut album as well.
Though I heard that enough, it drove me insane.
Yeah.
Like, I never.
And you mentioned Temple of the Dog. I mean, weren't they talking about making another Temple album?
Yes.
Holy crap. I mean...
But it's... That
not going to happen.
No. Does everybody form a protective circle around Eddie Vedder?
Yeah.
You know. Sadly, if they do actually make another Temple album, it'll be dedicated to Chris.
Yep.
Well, I think this just necessitates it, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't that why the original Temple of the Dog formed up in the first place? As a tribute to, what's his name from Mother Love Bone?
Could be.
I'm trying to remember what his name was. Reason I bring it up, because, like, that dude was, like, a major, like, figure in the grunge world, like, Everybody doesn't know this. Mother Love Bone eventually turned into Pearl Jam and Mudhoney. So,
yeah.
Yeah, holy crap, man. God, 2017, please don't turn out like 2016. I'm begging you.
Yeah, it's a little early to call at this point, but...
Yeah. So far, even now, it isn't even in the same dimension as 2016 was.
No.
Like 2016, it was almost like every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's a different kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we lose Chris Cornell and get rid of Roger Ailes in the same day, and I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel.
Yeah.
Balance restored in the universe, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, Chris Cornell was taken away from us, but they also took Roger Ailes, so...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No. Anyway, and more music news. So everybody knows, of course, Prince passed away last year. And one of the things about Prince that a lot of folks know is he was an amazingly prolific musician and songwriter. Of course, everybody knows he's probably one of the most prolific songwriters as far as pop music goes anyway. You know, of course, he used like a zillion different pen names when he wrote songs, but...
Yeah, like The Time.
Like The Time. Well, I mean, The Time was basically Morris Day and Prince.
Yeah.
Morris Day sang and Prince did literally everything else.
Yeah.
Including the engineering and production. And, you know, of course, he did stuff for like Sheena Easton, Bangles. That's just the ones I can remember.
Yeah.
But what ultimately happened is there are just several albums worth of recordings that he never released that he instead put into his famous music vault.
Yeah.
And he basically declared that as long as he was alive, none of that shit was ever going to see the light of day.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
He ain't alive anymore.
No, he's not alive anymore. So now his estate is going to be controlled by his six full and half siblings. So I guess his six siblings.
Yeah. He has one sister and five half siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're essentially, I think the court filings suggest he has an estimated wealth of about $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that taxes will take about half of that.
Mm-hmm. Still $100 million.
Yeah.
Still, not
substantial.
I think they'll do okay.
And we're talking about six individuals, so $100 million divided by six—that's a pretty penny for all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, if they start releasing all of these unreleased stuff, then they'll start making even more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we said, like we said, the dude had several dozen albums worth of stuff that he never released, so they've got quite a bit of material to release for a long, long time.
Yeah, they're still going through, I think it says here, when he died, more than 45 people came forward claiming to be his wife, children, siblings, or other relatives.
Yeah.
So they've had to do DNA testing. There's like a woman and a girl who claimed to be his niece and grandniece. Most of them had their claims rejected. Some are filing appeals, so they got to go through all that stuff before they officially name the six siblings his heirs. Yeah. So, and maybe there'll be some surprise person. Yeah.
Prince was Prince.
Yeah.
So it's more than probable he's got a few illegitimate children out there.
Yeah, well, he was prolific in many ways.
Yes.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, he was also a devout Jehovah's Witness, so you figure that out.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know who I found out was a Jehovah's Witness for a while until he grew up and left it?
Hmm?
Never going to believe this.
Hmm.
Akira Toriyama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never would have expected that.
Didn't see that one coming.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. But anyway, so, pretty much Prince is probably going to be the most prolific postmortem music artists.
Yeah.
Probably he's going to beat Tupac by a wide mile. So.
Yeah.
You ever heard the time that Matt Damon met Prince?
No.
This is a little story that Damon told on, I forget what show, but he was with Julia Stiles sort of. After the Julia Stiles thing, after the Bourne Ultimatum came out, there was a premiere in London. Prince actually came to it, then got tickets for the cast to see him perform. We were summoned into a room to meet him after the show. Matt said, "So you live in Minnesota? I hear you live in Minnesota." Prince said, "I live inside my own heart, Matt Damon."
Yeah, that sounds like something special. He would say.
Yep. I love how he refers to him as Matt Damon.
Yes. Yeah, that's how you're supposed to. That's the South Park man.
Well,
yeah.
So I think it was last week we talked really briefly about the fact that there was that infamous malware attack that suddenly showed up.
WannaCry.
The what was it? I'm trying to remember what it was called.
WannaCry.
WannaCry. Yeah, that's what it's called. WannaCry, yeah. And suddenly it showed up and. China, Taiwan, Korea.
I could start at the NHS in
mm-hmm.
the UK.
Yeah.
Up in the UK. A lot of the major places in the world. And it was believed that the guys who did it they claimed that they had stolen the technology from the NSA. And
yeah, well, they were just using the stuff that was dumped by the shadow brokers. So,
yeah. Freaking nerds. But anyway, so yeah, it turned out it was just some random British teenager actually managed to stop it.
Yeah.
And all he had to do was
more to this story.
Yeah, but basically the whole thing was stopped with a domain purchase.
For a while.
For a while, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the kill switch.
Yeah, there was a kill switch mm-hmm. where it was basically beaconing out to a particular domain. If it didn't mm-hmm. get a response back from that domain, then it would execute its instructions. If it did get a response back, then it would shut down. But yep. So the kid basically just registered that domain and stopped mm-hmm. it for a while.
Yeah.
And then the people who were running it decided, hey, that's really dumb, so let's not include that code anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, supposedly he's a 22-year-old surfer from Britain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
works for the U.S.-based tech firm Cryptos Logic.
Yeah.
Says, you probably can't picture a grown man jumping around with the excitement of having just been ransomwared, but this was me.
Yay!
Yeah, he's built his own rig just for tackling malware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it worked for a little while anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now it's better if you patch your systems, you know, update your Windows systems and stuff, because there's no excuse for you to get this.
And don't click on Microsoft. Shit you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially since Microsoft patched this in March.
Yeah.
No excuse.
No excuse.
And for fuck's sake, get and learn how to use NoScript.
Yeah,
or
I fucking love NoScript.
Yeah. All proxies, learn to use them.
Yeah, I use uBlock Origin. It's the shit.
Yeah,
it's written by a very cranky Montreal programmer.
Yeah, would also help if you got Firefox and had ad blocker installed. It ain't it'll it's not
that's what I
it's not
that's what I love about.
It's not the absolute be-all, end-all, but it's basically the first line of defense.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like uBlock Origin, because it's like an ad blocker, but it goes beyond that. It mm-hmm. actually does heuristics. It uses the Ghostery database for privacy stuff. It's basically like an all-in-one stuff. So, and it's fully customizable, so you can be as lenient or as hardcore as you want, and you don't have to install several add-ons. You can do it all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice.
Yeah, this guy runs a Twitter profile called Malware Tech, It says, I woke up to someone ringing me to say my pick is on the front of page of the Daily Mail. I always thought I'd be doxxed by skids, but turns out journalists are 100 times better at doxxing.
Yes, they are.
Said he's worried about people retaliating. Now they can find his identity within seconds. If they know where I live, they could really do anything, he said. A security blogger had people send heroin to his house and try to frame him after his identity was leaked, and he even had death threats.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this probably isn't going to help his attacks at all.
No, yeah.
But
there's some serious malcontents out there on the internet, so watch yourself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure pretty much all four of us have gotten death threats at least once.
Yeah, I think we probably have.
I mean, I basically trolled Nazis as a hobby. Well, anyway, moving on, we got some tech news. The Internet of Things. It's basically a pretty way of saying putting an internet connection on shit that doesn't need it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are things that generally are more convenient if you have them connected to the internet, and then there's stuff like this.
Yeah. We are talking about the SMALT.
Yeah.
A smart centerpiece designed exclusively for indoor-outdoor dining.
Well, you see, exclusively and then indoor and outdoor. That's the problem with copyright there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the smallest of the problems that this device has.
Well, they designed it. They were exclusively designed for your indoor-outdoor dining area. Not for your living room area, not for your basement, not for your bathroom. It's just your dining area.
Yeah, just your dining area.
Wherever it may be.
Yeah.
And then later down it says, portable design. Have fun no matter where you dine. Dining room, patio, rooftop, kitchen, park, or wherever you want.
Yeah. And we haven't even actually told people what this thing is.
We're fixing to tell ya.
Yeah.
Basically, it is a device that will stream your favorite music when you hook it up to your phone. It will light up the room with your choice of mood lighting. And did I mention that what its primary use is?
Mm.
It's a salt shaker.
Yeah, it's a salt shaker. And, yeah, about the only kind of sort of interesting aspect of it is it will dispense a precise amount if you're one of those types of people.
And if you are, please go die.
Yeah. Well, if you're on a diet, I suppose.
No, not even for
specific, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to find some excuse for it, but no, I just can't. This doesn't really. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And, of course, they're funding this on Indiegogo.
Because, of course, they are.
Because, of course, that's where you go when you want to fund something and have no risk whatsoever. Because you don't have to meet your funding goal to actually get the money.
Have they said how much this is going to be?
No.
Nope.
Well, that's good.
IoT things, I would probably guess $179.
Well, it does say here that it's the perfect conversation starter.
I don't know that you want those conversations.
You don't want that conversation now.
What the fuck is this thing that's blinking at me?
Why did you waste your money on it?
Yeah.
Is this one of those Alexas?
Yeah. So people wonder why I have such a hate boner for Silicon Valley, and
stuff like this is a good example of why.
Because it's filled with people with a bunch of rich assholes who have no idea that stuff like this is something that normal people don't freaking want or need.
Yeah,
and from a company called Urban Body.
Of course.
God.
But I think that's about all we can really say about that.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. So, moving on, we got television news.
Yeah.
None other than Roseanne is coming back to ABC.
Wow.
Yeah, it's.
Wouldn't have expected that.
Eight episodes in the first season.
And I mean the, and I don't mean just Roseanne Barr. I mean the actual TV show.
Yep.
Yeah, they're getting everybody back.
Both Roseanne Barr and John Goodman will be coming back.
Yep, both Beckys are coming back too.
Both Beckys.
Yes.
Wow. That's going to be awkward.
Yeah, the John Goodman part's really interesting because his character died in the final season of.
Yeah.
I guess the whole story is that she made it up. She just made up the last season.
Pretty much.
Well, I'll watch it because, hey, probably be
fun. I want to find out how they spend
that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking of bringing that. Dan has a heart attack before that last season starts, and it's basically revealed, like, in the last, I think, 10 minutes of the final episode. After Dan died, Roseanne basically is just like, you know, I tried to do what I could to cope with it. And keep in mind, that last season is basically the season where they won the lottery. And so they started doing a bunch of sitcom bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they dropped that bomb at you at the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But yeah, I want to see how they're going to spend this one.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do with the second Becky. Because Edgy's going to return in a different role, but it's going to be weird to kind of acknowledge the difference.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll lampshade it with a single joke and then never speak of it again.
Yeah. And other TV news, specifically Netflix. Netflix has confirmed that next year we will get season 5 of Arrested Development.
Yes. They got great quotes here. In talks with Netflix, we all felt that stories about a narcissistic, erratically behaving family in the building business and their desperate abuses of power are really underrepresented on TV these days. That was Mitch Hurwitz, the show creator. He also said, I am so grateful to them and to the 20th TV for making this dream of mine come true in bringing the Blues, George Sr., Lucille, and the kids, Michael, Ivanka, Don Jr., Eric, George Michael, and who am I forgetting? Oh, Tiffany. Did I say Tiffany? Back to the glorious stream of life.
Wow.
So they got a nice bit of influence on this upcoming season.
Yeah.
As if that wasn't already there from the beginning. Of a corrupt business in the retail industry.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are wondering, just to go back to Roseanne, this is basically what showed up in the final season. So in the season's final episode, Roseanne reveals the entire series itself is actually a story written by Roseanne Connor about her life. To cope, Roseanne twisted major elements of her life for the story, which the audience does not discover until the final moments of the series. In reality, Dan's heart attack, that's John Goodman's character, Dan's heart attack near the end of season 8 was fatal, and the Connor family did not win the lottery. Also, Jackie is a lesbian and Beverly is straight. Scott is a probate lawyer that Roseanne befriended and set up with Leon, whom she claims isn't very hip like she wrote him to be. Another major difference is that Mark and Darlene were a couple all along, as were David and Becky, rather than the opposite, which was Becky with Mark and Darlene with David. Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Like, okay, so how are they going to spend all this crap?
Alternate reality.
Yeah.
It was all a dream.
Oh, that's what they did with Dallas.
Yeah.
And no one has ever forgiven them. All right, well, like I said, Arrested Development, Season 5, next year. Yep. That is one of the funniest shows on television, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah. Well, when it's done well, I think, I don't know, was it season 3 or season 4 that was a little off?
Mm-hmm.
Season 4 was kind of set up around telling, each episode was kind of focusing on one character.
Yeah.
And sort of weaving the other tales into it as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned in the press release they had about this that they're going to be spending a lot more time in this season.
Yeah,
everybody's gonna be spending more time together, so that'll be back to that.
Hey, All right, well, got another Netflix news. Netflix has confirmed that a prequel series for the classic piece of children's entertainment slash nightmare fuel that was The Dark Crystal, called Age of Resistance, is going to be produced.
For God's sakes, Netflix, don't screw this up.
Please, the franchise has suffered. The franchise has suffered enough.
Yeah.
They got the Henson Company back on this, and the Henson kids, as well as Brian Froud, the original concept designer.
Yeah.
So they're building new puppets and all that.
Yeah.
You know, lately, I'm actually pretty confident with what Netflix is doing lately. They've been putting a lot of quality shows out. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
They can horrify a whole new generation of children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guys, I'm going to guess. We've all seen The Dark Crystal, right? Yeah. We've all seen it.
Bits.
Yeah, that movie, I mean, it's a good movie, you know, in parts, but holy crap, there is just a bunch of
really depressing visuals.
Yeah, just,
yeah.
You know,
it was supposed to be a kid's movie too. It was like, wow. Like, let's traumatize all of the children. That seems like a great idea.
Yeah. And, I mean, really, the visuals in that thing were freaking... Some of it was just downright horrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, just that, you know, and nauseating, too. That whole scene where, you know, the Skeksis are all eating at that table is just unbelievably grotesque.
Yeah.
Really, that whole movie just is like... Half of it is nightmare fuel, and the other half is...
David Bowie.
In between moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, David Bowie is Labyrinth.
I get those mixed up. I was going to say David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly, but...
That's Labyrinth. Wrong. Yeah. Labyrinth.
That's the other 80s movie. Horrifying movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that one wasn't so much horrifying as it
I don't know.
Was...
Oh, you're stuck in a maze. I mean, that could be frightening to some people.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up.
But it's balanced off by David Bowie being David Bowie.
Yeah.
And his enormous schlong.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Crystal, Age of Resistance, being produced by Netflix. I hope they don't tone it down at all.
Nope. Just go for it.
Don't hold nothing back.
Yeah.
That movie was...
If you're focused, children, don't run out of the room screaming. You're doing it wrong.
No, I remember this dude being creepy. But then the chat...
Oh, yeah, him.
Oh, yeah.
That thing staring into your soul.
Well, yes. To be honest, that's pretty much every Muppet ever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just by design, basically.
Yeah.
Except for the Muppets and the Sesame Street Muppets, but... Yeah. Everything else where they went more original, they went very creepy to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so our final story of the day, and something that made Phil very, very happy. Sony is set to produce the Wheel of Time television series.
Yes. This is another one I have to say, don't fuck it up.
Yeah. Because other than Game of Thrones,
attached? Yeah,
yeah. Other than Game of Thrones, we've seen, you know, other networks try to adapt, you know, fantasy fiction into television form, and they haven't all been that good.
Yeah, there was that Shannara series that came out recently
from MTV.
For some reason,
yeah.
There everybody was a wants their Game series. Of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably one we'll be able to talk about on Sunday that will tie into Game of Thrones in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So attached to the show is, Rafe Judkins, who I have no idea Although he worked on, he's supposed to write and executive produce, but he's worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's worked on Hemlock Grove for Netflix, and he's worked on Chuck for NBC. Red Eagle have a couple of their guys to produce. And then there's the one thing that seems like it might actually help save this is that Harriet McDougal herself, that would be Robert Jordan's widow, is actually is on as consulting producer. So hopefully she will help prevent this show from sucking.
Yeah.
I can hope, because yeah.
We can only hope
to suck. Yeah.
At least the books really this like is based on is done, unlike the other big fantasy series.
Yeah.
Author's non-existence notwithstanding, but...
Yeah. Yeah, this one. I don't know. I have hopes. I mean, Sony is going to be working on it. So at least there's a studio with money behind it. So they could afford to put the budget behind it. And a show like this kind of would need it, because, yeah, there's some pretty ridiculous stuff that goes on in those books.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I do believe we've got a show.
I think you're right.
Yes.
Yes, we did, and we kept it under 2 hours, too. Wow. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we didn't have a Gamer Mag Remembrances, so that would have put us way over the top.
Probably gonna have, we might have one next week. I gotta find one to work with.
We'll have to see.
But,
full disclosure, we are discussing spinning it off into its own show.
Yeah,
that's also been in talks. One of the number of spinoff projects we've all been discussing. But that is in the future, and for now, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. I would like to remind all of our viewers, you can write into the show, ask us questions, have us something read on the air at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You also have, on top of our, you know, iTunes, you can also hear us on Google Play, RSS.
Tune in and your favorite podcast app.
Yep. Just find one, put us in there. There's a good 50-50 chance we're in there somewhere. As it is, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Chrysologi, I'd like to say...
So, on the amazing words of Vice President Pence, I've often said there's nothing better for the inside of a man than the outside of a horse.
See you next week, folks!